Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Vice Admiral Mark Karnacek, Director of the Defense Logistics Agency. So, Admiral, DLA is defined by its mission, its people, and ultimately its support of the warfighter. As DLA director, you've outlined a strategic direction for the organization. Would you give us an overview of that direction?
Yeah, obviously, it's all about our customers. So our theme here for my director's guidance since I got there in late 2012 is that over my tour here at DLA, we're going to significantly improve performance and performance as defined by our customers, whoever they are, while we dramatically reduce cost. You have to give everybody a target, and then you have to fully empower them to start improving performance and dramatically reducing costs. So on the improving performance side, that's really the easy part. Well, the easy part is to figure out what improved performance looks like, and that's not something we define. And then you have to figure out a plan to actually improve performance. And I'll tell you, when you're in the logistics business, improving performance is not all that difficult if you sort of stick to the basics. And when you're in a machine that buys things, and that's largely what DLA is, we are an acquisition machine, you have to buy enough, you have to buy it on time, and then you have to make sure it gets there. So sounds simple, but that's what everybody needs to be focused on, and I think we are focused on that. So baseline your customer's performance and then deliver on time, right place, right quantity, right thing at the least cost, which brings me to the reducing cost stuff. We have two big cost centers. We have the cost of the stuff we buy, and then we have our operating costs. So we're going to take a big crack at that. We've coined a little phrase here, 13 and 6. That's $13 billion over the next 6 years. So what that means to folks that really don't understand a lot of working capital fund accounting mumbo jumbo, that means between now and 6 years from now, DLA will deliver improved performance at $13 billion less cost. So that means our customers will get equal to or improved cost, but they'll be paying a lot less for it. So you do that by talking to your industry partners with regard to understanding behaviors that we either do by customer, by regulation that cost the government more money, and telling us where they are, and then working with them to pull those costs out, reducing the amount of inventory that we carry. We have a lot of extra inventory, which implies a lot of extra carrying costs and a lot of excess infrastructure costs. And again, when you're in the inventory business and you're running a working capital fund or you're a retailer or a car business, I mean, you don't want to be stuck with a lot of stock at the end of the year because that goes right back against your bottom line. So the key for us is to buy only the inventory that we need and no more, and then make sure that it's moving, that it's working hard, that we're not storing a lot of stuff that we simply don't need. And that's really fundamentally it.
I'd like to pick up on the recently unveiled 13 in 6 strategy. Yeah. And you mentioned some of the things you're doing around that. But more importantly, what was the impetus of issuing the strategy? And how does it sort of capitalize or build upon your 2012 10 and 5 approach?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I got there in an odd year, 10 and 5. So we only had we got there in a program review year. So we only had 5 years to look at. So it was actually 10% in 5 years, which coincidentally equaled $10 billion. So when you get to the full program here, you add another year to that. So it's 6 years. And that just happens to be $13 billion in 6 years. I wanted everybody to understand that the country expects us to do that. The president expects us to do that. The secretary expects us to do that. So rather than wait for, you know, guidance from above to cut, I figured we would get out ahead of that and be a little more forehanded with regard to what it is we were doing. Because it takes you a little while to get some inertia here. Probably takes you a good year before you're really putting money in the bank in terms of saving. So I figured the sooner we started, the better off we would be. I wanted it real simple. You know, when I talk about the five things we're going to do, it's to decrease direct material costs, decrease operating costs, reduce inventory, improve customer service, and then get to this spot called audit readiness. Yeah. And again, everybody is part of that. Industry is a huge part of it. On the material cost side, we have a lot of work to do internally to ensure that we cost, or we're achieving that effect at the least operational cost. And a whole host of things. So underneath those five, there's many, many sort of branches and sequels with regard to strategies and how we're going
to
do that.
Yeah, and I'd like to pick up on at least one now. I'd like to sort of unveil each one of them a little bit and talk a little bit about them, and particularly the material costs and reduction there. Would you tell us about some of those strategies you're pursuing in that area?
A big one that I learned back in my Navy days was something called a reverse auction. If you've ever been in an auction or you've ever bid on eBay, I guess, you're online, you're bidding. You don't see everybody else's bids, but you know you're not the high bidder. So if you want it, you got to determine in your own mind how much you're willing to pay for it. Well, this is a pricing tool that we use for qualified suppliers, and that's the pricing. So instead of a sealed bid or a best and final that we negotiate with each of the suppliers, this runs just like it's an online auction. We do it for virtually anything that is more than $100,000, so goods, services, fuel, medicine, all that stuff. So the folks in the auction, and you only need two to have an auction. Very often we have more than two, three to five to six, and we run it just like a regular auction. So we have a sort of a target where we want to start, and the suppliers bid against one another. So unbeknownst to us, there's all sorts of deliberations going on in their boardrooms with regard to how low they can actually get. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it lets everybody else see everybody else's sort of margin and how low can you go. And again, our rule to start with was that any buy that was over $100,000, we were going to subject that to a reverse auction. Over the past year, we've done over 5,000 reverse auctions. No kidding, auditable, no kidding savings. We're at about $1.8 billion. What we found is they work very well where there's a lot of competition, obviously, where there's a pretty robust sort of base, where the margins are, when I mean profit, is probably in the neighborhood of 10% or a little more. Obviously, where the dollar value is pretty big and where the contract is of a longer term.
And could you give us an example of what kind of products were?
Yeah, well, you name it. I mean, we ran a bulk fuel buy that we only saved about, 3% on. But 3% on a contract that's a couple billion dollars is real money. We had another contract that we ran, auction that we ran a couple months ago for a medical prime vendor, medical supplies. It's a 10-year contract worth about $10 billion. We say 5%. 5% of 10 billion is a big number.
I'd like to transition to, as I understand it, DLA manages 26 distribution centers worldwide.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
And I think you'd mentioned, or I'd heard that about $2 billion a year to maintain that infrastructure. Yeah. I'd like to transition to understand how you're trying to reduce your infrastructure costs. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And more particularly, how does the strategic network optimization fit in?
That's a great question. Again, we're at about 26 different spots worldwide. In 1992, when we took the distribution missions from all of our service customers, we got that transferred to us. We were at 26 different sites. So a generation later, we're still in largely the same number of sites. Now, we were in Afghanistan. We weren't in Afghanistan then. We used to have a place in Memphis. We don't have that. So there's been some changes on the edges there, but largely we're still in 26 different places. And when you look at all that is sort of taken place over the last generation, we think it's probably time to take a very hard look at what that network looks like. Mm-hmm. Folks in private industry rearrange their network pretty often, and that's on the decrease operating cost side of the house. So what we're going to do is put the inventory that we decide to keep in our best, most advantageously located least cost distribution centers, get rid of the inventory we don't need, and knock down a bunch of buildings. Mm-hmm. Last year, 40% of DLA's inventory was in more than one place, which means we had a lot of inventory all over the place. If you talk to FedEx, they'll tell you they can have anything, big or small, moved anywhere in the United States in 5 days. Mm-hmm. So using that as sort of a guiding principle, how does that apply to us? So if it was 40% in more than one place, this year it's only 2%. Following sort of a tried and true business model that minimizes the amount of inventory you carry and really leverages a fabulous distribution and transportation system, we're going to put most of our wholesale inventory at one of four places: Susquehanna, San Joaquin, Warner Robins to a lesser extent, and the other big one is Red River. Red River has sort of the heavy army. Susquehanna has the Navy, parts of the Air Force, and the light army on the East Coast. And then in San Joaquin, we have sort of the Navy, the Air Force, and just a little Army. So when you look at how we're supporting customers, we're going to do it from one of four places. So the only inventory that we will have out close to customers at, you know, Hill Air Force Base or Tinker Air Force Base or the shipyard in Pearl Harbor will be retail inventory, inventory that supports that industrial effort, where sort of time is of the essence, and then back up those retail inventories with the wholesale inventory. So what does that all mean in terms of fewer infrastructure? If you go out to San Joaquin, we're actually in two places, Tracy and Sharp. We will reduce enough inventory and have enough sort of fallow space at Tracy so we can move off of Sharp completely and demolish between 6 and 8 World War II vintage warehouses that cost us a fortune to maintain. I mean, every time you put a roof on those buildings, it costs $1 million. So if you don't need the inventory, it's excess to our needs, and you can achieve the same outcome. In other words, it's all about achieving that operational outcome at least cost. That's what we're going to do. So when you multiply that across the DOD, for DLA anyway, we're repositioning inventory. We're making much better use of transportation. And because we have less inventory, we're able to get out of a lot of old infrastructure. So that's really what it is.
And you mentioned the connection between inventory and infrastructure. In other words, needing the buildings to store the inventory that you're going to need or potentially need. And I'd like to understand a little bit about some of the challenges of both, you know, reducing the inventory, but knowing what the customer needs. Right. And making sure you have access to it. And then how does that bleed into, saying, reducing your footprint geographically?
Yeah, the you know, this is all about managing risk in an era of uncertainty here. And, of course, everybody who has been around the military knows that, we've been through a lot of sort of surprises over the past 12 years with regard to logistics. So, you know, you kind of want to hedge your bets here. You don't want to get too thin. And some of this is just judgment, leadership, and the rest is just arithmetic. For example, when you look at DLA's inventories, about $14 billion, we think we can achieve the same effect with about 8 and not incur any additional risk. I have wonderful people that work for me that are just smart as whips that can look out next month, next year, 5 years from now, and using the information that we have, figure this is what our requirement is that we know, and we add probably 6 to 12 months worth of cushion just to ensure if we miss, we're not going to drive the ship aground, and the rest you get rid of. So really, it's no more simple than that. The hard part is making that decision. I mean, this is information that's been known to us and frankly the other services for quite some time. It just requires you know, the leadership team to make the decision that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to do at DLA.
What is DLA doing to reduce its fuel cost? We will ask Vice Admiral Mark Karnacek, Director of the Defense Logistics Agency, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.